All right. Hello, everybody. So, as the years have gone on and on in my life since I have moved out and gone to college, I've been able to explore and learn a little bit about the world and grow a little bit. There's some things I've matured in, and there's other things, maybe not so much, I've matured in. But the things that I've learned the most about growing up in the world is that everything works on a schedule. We all have plans, we all have things to do, and people to see, places to go, and it is this planning that forms our lives around work, school, relationships, family, friends, even God. You see, everything works on a plan for us. This means a lot coming from a guy that has a family as spontaneous as mine as well. But even that is part of the plan. So it's easy to fall into these schedules and things and convince ourselves what we ought to do for any particular moment is the right thing to do. For example, at school, I have a schedule for classes. I have a work schedule. I have a very, very small sleeping schedule, a food schedule, and even friends and family schedule. I generally don't keep a tight schedule. It's just how my family and I have been. And I'm pretty flexible most of the times, but when things don't go according to plan or the schedule, that's when I start to worry a little bit. And that's just human nature, and that's what we do. There's nothing we can really change about that. We convince ourselves that there is a right and a wrong plan, or that if things don't go the way that we want them to, that we should worry about it. And we are programmed that way. And it's not always a bad thing, though. Keeping a schedule, making plans, that's what keeps us going. It keeps our world rolling. However, a lot of times our plans don't go exactly the way we would like them to. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand why that is. For example, a couple of months back, Val and I had somebody break into our car and broke our car window. And it was while she was at a concert with Clarissa. Now, in Ventura, it wouldn't be that big a deal, you know. You break a window, it's fine. But in the middle of February in Edmond, Oklahoma, when it snows every other day, it's kind of a problem. So during that time, it's hard for me to understand why that happened. And it's definitely not the worst thing, but the point is that that was definitely not a part of the plan. But even in a simple situation like that, I didn't ever ask myself, okay, well, what could God's plan be in this? And I know that that sounds silly. It's just someone breaking a car window. But in every situation, you could ask that question, no matter how big or small. And I feel that if we allow God to work through us, and not to just ask ourselves, what's my plan, and what do I want out of this, but to instead ask, what's God's plan, what does he want for me and for me, is a much bigger, maybe more difficult thing to do. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And in John 3:16, everyone knows this one, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And in Proverbs 3:5-6, the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your straight your paths." So time and time again, these are just three verses out of a ton that you could pick from. We're called to trust God, to believe in him, to have faith in him. And it's so easy to miss out on that sometimes because we let our plans get in the way of his plans. So we were talking kind of about this last week in our young adult class, and we started talking about John 5, specifically the first part of the passage, 1-15. And in this passage, there's a crippled man who's laid by the pool, and all day, every day, he hopes to be healed. He doesn't know Jesus. He's not begging for Jesus to heal him. However, Jesus sees this man in particular laying on the ground. It says, Jesus saw him laying there, and when he realized that the man had been disabled for a long time already, he said to him, "Do you want to become well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirring up. While I am trying to get in the water, someone else goes down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man was healed, and he picked up his mat and started walking. This man was nothing more than a crippled, broken man. He had little hopes of ever being healed. When he is asked the question, "Do you want to become well?" he is doubtful that that's ever going to happen. He doesn't say, like, "Yes, of course I do." And it does seem like an obvious question, but he's kind of given up at this point. He's been there for 38 years. But Jesus saw something else for his plan. He saw the bigger picture. So if you keep reading, it says, now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and you are not permitted to carry your mat. But he answered them, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, pick up your mat and walk? But the man who had been healed did not know who. In my opinion, the Jewish leaders probably could have guessed that it was Jesus. There's not a lot of other people going around making crippled walk during this time. So we can't ever tell what Jesus is thinking during all this, but it's pretty easy to see that the healing man was not just for the man that was healed. He also used the man as a way to show the Jewish leaders as well. So it's not in particular that this man was important or anything special. It's just that even in the smallest things, in the smallest people that we would never even think of, God can use his amazing gifts and plans. And as we were talking about this, we were talking about the specific situation with the Jewish leaders, which the Jewish leaders specifically did have problems with what they believed to be the truth regarding Jesus and his ways. So you could say it's an extreme case. However, this pattern isn't just particular to the Jewish leaders. In the chapter prior to this, in John 4, Jesus sends the disciples ahead of him into town to get food. So that's what they do. They make their plan. Their plan is go get food, bring the food back to Jesus. Sounds reasonable. Well, while they're in town, Jesus has a conversation with the Samaritan woman, and he tells her every sin that she's ever done. The woman immediately returns to town to tell everyone about Jesus and proclaims that he could be the Messiah. Meanwhile, the disciples return, and they say, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And Jesus explains that his food is not physical food, it's a spiritual food. And we joked about this in class that it must have been pretty difficult to be a disciple. You know, you go and get asked to bring back food, and you come back, and he's like, I already have food that you know nothing about. And they're like, did somebody feed this guy? What happened while we were gone? So it probably would have probably been pretty difficult, but the point is they were so focused on their plan of getting food that they totally missed the big picture. And these were the people that lived daily with Jesus, that followed him, and they still had trouble seeing God's plan. And it just makes me think, how much more difficult could it be for us? And this isn't the only time that something like this happens for them, too. In Mark 8:23-26, it says, Jesus, he took a blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw clearly. Anyone can look at this and say, oh, well, it's just another one of Jesus' miracles, right? But then why not heal him completely the first time? Was Jesus all out of Jesus' power? I don't think so. In the verses just prior to the one stating in verse 14, it says that the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them on the boat. So this is just before this happens. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, is it because we have no bread? And they were so focused on their bread, their one loaf of bread, that they didn't even try to make any comparisons to what Jesus was trying to say. Their whole plan at the moment was, we got to eat the bread, we got to get food, right? So their plan became more important to them. Aware of the discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7, he said to them. Do you still not understand? Now, if we put this in comparison to when Jesus heals the blind man, I just imagine that he took the blind man by the hand, led him outside. He spat on his eyes, put his hands on him, said, do you see anything? He said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. And I can just see Jesus kind of, as he does this, he's like, do you see anything? And he kind of looks at his disciples like, pay attention to this. Because he had eyes, but he couldn't see. He didn't see what the main message was. He didn't see God's plan. The disciples didn't see God's plan. So the point is, God does everything for a reason. Every little thing in the Bible, every part is part of a bigger plan. Every part in our lives is a part of a bigger plan if we allow God to do that for us. Jesus died on a cross. He died in front of his family and his disciples and the people he had healed and loved. He died while his father turned his head and looked away. His only father couldn't look at him while he hung and died. And you're supposed to tell me that that was not a bad thing. But in God's plan, that was his plan. That is not a bad thing. I've never heard of somebody dying like that and it not be a bad thing. But the whole point of God's message to us is that any situation that we allow God to take in our lives, he can turn that into his situation. That's all.